This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 97.1 FM Talk. Our buddy Tim Convy hanging out with us. See? You should have taken the close job.
Could have done this every day.
This is great.
It is great. It is great.
It's a good vibe.
It is a good vibe.
Rach said it would be awkward. I said, you're wrong.
Shut up.
She fought it.
She said, he doesn't have 3 hours in him. That's not who he is. Please come out and join me and Tim Convy, who will be there with me at Cyberg's on Thursday night, because he's a drinker. And he loves bourbon, and we're going to be out there with brown sugar bourbon. People, see, now I have to stop, because people will be like, where's Convy?
Yeah. No, they won't.
But only the people who talk like that.
Right.
Where's Convy?
Where's Tim?
Where's the bathroom?
He's my favorite.
Do you have potato skins?
These are the kind of people that show up to your remotes, Dave.
The only chicken I see here are wings. I don't understand what you're trying to do. It's not a business model, Mr. Cyberg.
I love Cyberg.
Isn't it terrible? There are people that talk like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're hurting their feelings
right
now.
No, they don't know. They don't know. That's the beauty of a word like Hoosier. No one knows
that they're a Hoosier.
Oh, no,
they know
Hoosiers.
I'm
really worried that I'm a Hoosier.
Yep. Right?
Yep.
But they're not.
Yep.
It's always the rung below them.
It's in the eye of the Behoosier.
That's good.
Thursday night, I will be at Cyberg's Mid Rivers for brown sugar bourbon between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. And I'd love to see you out there. Also, shout out to Adam Elick, who is 12 years old and goes to St. Mary's. His mom is in today. She is running for state office in Illinois, and he's a big fan of the show. And this is actually Adam's second shout out.
Oh, was he at the
trivia night?
Yeah, I remember you giving him a shout out.
Unprecedented to get two shout outs on the Glover Show.
Man, he's
on
his way.
Congrats, Adam.
Yeah, he is on his way.
Two in 2019 alone.
Speaking of 19, I'm sure you all know this.
Yeah,
and
it's
I'm sure
on my calendar.
You're all prepared. I'm sure you've bought your gifts. Tomorrow, mine and the station's 19th anniversary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
October 16th.
No kidding.
Congratulations.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting. Wait till you see what I've got planned.
I was going to say, I think it's the bronze anniversary. So
19? Yeah, that sounds right.
So maybe some bronze headphones or something would be nice.
Wow. So that means that's the beginning of the 20th year.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay.
I thought it was a funny conversation between Rach and I today. I said, because for Y98, guys do the donut thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, you know, the 98 giant donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, would it be over the top for me just to do that and get a 19? I'll find out where they get their donuts and do the 19. And she was so sweet. She goes, let's wait for 20.
No.
She goes, 20, 20's a big deal.
We're getting the best cake ever for 20.
She's like, 19 is great, but let's wait for 20.
We're going to do homemade cake for 19.
I disagree.
Just celebrate amongst ourselves.
Oh, you can do donuts every year. 20. Man.
He's just angling for donuts. He doesn't have your best interest at heart.
Something about those donuts, the big donuts. I think donuts are meant to be that size.
I think you're right.
They're a little bit better.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, I say go for it. I'll give you some names.
Okay, thanks. Attorney Chet Pleben joins us. Hello, Chet.
Hey, how is everybody?
Good, man.
Good.
Not good enough to get a giant 19 donut tomorrow, but...
happy birthday.
It's only one more year.
Finally 19.
What do you get at 25? Like a ring or something?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out perhaps.
So
let's talk about this. It's so terrible to say this latest shooting, but it's the latest shooting. Most of you know about it. It's the one where the lady, and these are the facts as I know them, was sitting on her couch in her home playing a video game with her 8-year-old nephew. A neighbor saw that her door was open, was concerned, made a non-emergency call. Hey, could you guys just come check it out? There's body cam, and the cops show up, and they're shining a flashlight in the window. The latest I've heard is that the woman had a handgun. She raised it. They shot her. And that's where we're at. So do you know any different facts, Chet?
No, that's basically it. I mean, things are not good in Texas. Remember Amber Geiger, just last week, I guess it was, she was the one that was convicted. She was the Dallas police officer that wound up in the wrong apartment, shot and killed Botham Jean, the 26-year-old who was in his underwear minding his own business. And, of course, the jury convicted her. So now on the heels of that, along comes this Fort Worth police officer. And the situation is as you described it. Of course, I think that it's one of those situations down there now, given the media coverage that I've heard about it, is bring the guilty guy in so we can give him a fair trial. I mean, the chief, you know, tried him, convicted him. The mayor tried him, convicted him. And so all that's left, I guess, is for the jury to rubber stamp it and send him off to the penitentiary, I guess, for the rest of his life.
So if you were defending him just right now, top of your head with the facts we know, what would the defense be?
Well, the question in my mind, and as I was looking at all of this, is clearly there was a gun, and the gun was found right by the window where he fired into, obviously on the inside of that window. It was 2:30 in the morning. Now, I understand that obviously Texas has a castle doctrine, the stand your ground type concept. And of course, clearly the sympathy goes for the tragic death of this 28-year-old lady who was minding her kid. But notwithstanding that, again, it's dark. I can't tell from the video that I saw whether or not he passed that window first. Remember, he's got a flashlight, and he's doing that all over the place to find out what's going on because the door's open. There's another police officer with him. So he comes back to the window. I don't know, and I can't tell from the video, whether or not he had any place to go. So if he looks in that window or shines the light into the window and he sees someone in the room standing there pointing a loaded weapon at him, notwithstanding the fact that she didn't know that he was a police officer, apparently, because he didn't identify himself as a law enforcement officer, that would be the reason for the shots that were fired during that particular 2-second interval, because he may not have had any place to go to get any kind of cover. So the reason also, as I understand it, for him not identifying himself, and they parked away, so his police marked police vehicle would not be noticed, because apparently they are trained to do that just in case there's somebody inside at 2:30 in the morning, just in case there is a hostage situation or somebody's in there with a gun, burglarizing the place, holding somebody at gunpoint. Obviously, they don't want to frighten that guy into killing the people inside or doing whatever, as contrasted with a domestic situation where you welfare for whatever is going on. You park in front, you announce your police presence in the hope that whatever domestic situation is going on inside there calms down just a little bit. So
I
don't know.
Let's play, we're back in law school and I'm the law professor. Let me ask you, Mr. Pleben, to flip it and support the woman's case, why she had every right to be in her own home and protect her home with a gun.
Flipping it around, he didn't identify himself. He came upon her. He didn't give her the opportunity, apparently, according to a 2-second delay, to drop the weapon, to put her hands up. She had no clue, no idea of who he was. It's dark out. He's probably pointing a flashlight toward that window, which probably blinded her at that point in time. And therefore protecting her castle, which the law allows her to do, she did not drop the weapon, and you know the result.
So it seems like a bad, it just seems like a bad plan, you know, that I've never spent a day in law enforcement in my life, but it seems like this is a foreseeable situation.
It's a horrible situation, and the difficulty with this is that, you know, the sympathy is going to ride with her. The sympathy is going to ride with this guy. The 2 seconds, you know, you'll hear that prosecutor hammer, 2 seconds. It was 2 seconds. He didn't give her the chance to do anything. He didn't give her the chance to put her hands down. He just fired away. It was only one bullet, apparently, and apparently it hit a vital organ and killed her. Apparently, she was pronounced on the scene. I don't know. There was the 8-year-old kid, I guess, inside there with her. I don't know what that kid is going to be able to say or not say. I don't know what the kid saw. You know, it's just, again, it's 2:30 in the morning. Who knows? But I think that, you know, this is another one of those situations where instead of coming out, this chief, and coming out and saying, okay, look, you know, this is a tragic event. Clearly, nobody would dispute that. But we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to go ahead and we're going to, you know, have an open investigation. We're very transparent. We're going to find out. We're going to find out if it's a matter of our training or lack thereof. We're going to do all that sort of stuff. Instead, they just say, you know, bring this guilty guy in so we can give him a fair trial. And, you know, I would have, if he didn't resign, I was going to fire him. And you know, there's no excuse. And then the mayor comes out and says, the gun is irrelevant. No, the gun is not irrelevant. I mean, maybe it's irrelevant from the standpoint of you trying to justify when you get sued, you might take the position that the gun is irrelevant, but it's certainly not irrelevant from the standpoint of the police officer and what he observed, objectively speaking, at the time. You know,
Chet, switching, taking a hard left turn, do you have any insight, information, or opinions on this trolley debacle?
I think that's the right word, debacle. I don't know. You've been to U City. I've been to U City. Is a trolley really necessary up and down the street? Seriously?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tim, what do you
Plus,
think?
It ties up traffic, doesn't it?
Yeah. Convey, what do you think about this?
I don't know. Is a trolley necessary? No, probably not necessary. I think...
Have you been on it?
No.
I haven't either.
No, I haven't been on it.
What's the cost? What does it cost?
I think it's $2 per trip and then $5 if you want to do the whole day.
So can't you walk up and down the street to the businesses? Why would you need a trolley?
You may do that, but for the thousands of people who commute from the Missouri History Museum to the Del Mar Loop every day, this is very convenient.
Yes. For everyone that works at the History Museum and likes to eat at Blueberry Hill.
I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's convenient for Blueberry Hill, and I think it's convenient for him, and I think he's the only one. Did they take a vote on this at any place in U City?
And at some point they gave him the, he got the green light and stuff, so people can, you know, point to Joe and all that, but like enough people approved of this thing.
At one point, people were excited.
And if everybody sat there and said, well, they're only charging this much and it's not paying, it's on everybody.
I just think they haven't had nearly the traffic they were anticipating. It took a long time to open, it kept being delayed. I think they're projected to bring in about $400,000 in 2019, and it's been more like 20 something. So Sam Page has said, hey, tell us exactly where the money's going and rework a plan and we will look at it. But I think they're waiting on that.
Well,
right,
let's
now
just remember that about 5 years ago, they set up a trapeze at Union Station to teach you how to be a trapezeman, and no one was showing up, but they stuck to it. And 5 years later, no one's still shown up. So,
Well, here's the other thing I think that's going to come about. What does it cost? $15 to go on that Ferris wheel?
Yeah, it's pricey.
Pricey. And then if you want the executive thing, it's what's that? $50 or something?
It's
and you could see down below or something. I mean, if you need to see down below.
I've been in it, Chet. It's a great view.
What's the executive thing?
There's one VIP car on the entire thing, and it has a glass bottom, so you can look down.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Basically just means you
see everyone else.
Yeah, you see the next car. I think the wheel, once the aquarium is running, the wheel's going to be a nice little ancillary thing where they you know, get money, but...
I will. Let me say one more thing about the trolley, because I don't want to seem like I'm just trashing it. Yesterday, we had reported that like two sources close to the trolley had said, hey, they're going to take this $700,000 they're requesting and just turn around and pay off debts and still close it down. Joe Edwards's people have come out and said this is not true. So that's not what would happen. So I just wanted to clear that up, because people had been reporting that yesterday. We had mentioned it on the show, and I don't want to report fake news.
Well, knowing Joe, that would have really surprised me. If he would have just said,
yeah, it was in a lot of articles, like two unnamed sources were saying, oh, this is what they're going to do. But that has been,
it's probably Taliban and Wiggins.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't want to trash it either, but I got to tell you, honestly, I scratched my head when that thing was first proposed. And I thought, I can't imagine this working out really well for anybody out there. But apparently it went through. So here we are.
All right, Chad, thanks very much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Good talking to you guys. Bye-bye.
528 DGS. Literally, Frank Cusmano's getting off the air right about now, and so we'll be calling him in a couple of minutes. He was at the White House today with the St. Louis Blues, so we'll talk sports and find out what it's like to be at the White House, all that kind of stuff. Thank you to Four Roses Bourbon, who I posed with today for a picture, and La Catrina Wines. They are the sponsors for the Halloween show. I love them both. I really do. Four Roses is always at my house. It's the bourbon that Robert Redford drinks in All Is Lost, and that's why I bought it for the first time, because I'm a nerd like that. And La Catrina Wines, the wines are great. The bottles are amazing, perfect for a Halloween party. You can find both of those at Total Wine and More. Where's the Halloween trailer?
The Halloween
Here we go.
Didn't mean to do that. The Halloween trailer is on the Dave Glover Show Facebook page. It's on the 97.1 Facebook page, and it's at 97.1talk.com/Halloween, where you can find archives from every single Dave Glover Show Halloween show we've ever done.
You know how I've told stories about getting blackmailed, basically, in grade school, and I would cry?
Yes.
I just thought of another. It was my first real joke, and I think it was fourth grade, and it was, why can't ghosts get their wives pregnant?
Uh-oh.
Because they have a Halloweenie. And I didn't really understand it.
How old are you?
Fourth. I didn't really understand. I was working blue even in fourth grade. I didn't really understand it. And one of the girls said, I'm telling the teacher, and I immediately started crying.
You could do the crime, but you couldn't do the time.
100%.
You could dish it out.
Don't tell on me.
100%. I was a very edgy blue comedian.
Yeah.
But when I started getting heckled, I just folded.
Couldn't take it. That's good, though.
Thank you. Feel free to use it at the funny bone.
I'm impressed that you had that much knowledge in fourth grade. My goodness.
Well, I'd lived a life by then.
Right? I guess so, man.
Frank Cusmano joins us from Washington, D.C. Hello, Frank.
Good to be with you, Dave. Hope you're well.
So let's start with the White House. Tell us your story. Did you get in?
We did. I was started doing live shots there at about 5:30 today. And then we went back in the afternoon when the team was actually there. And we were there for the presentation in the Rose Garden where Donald Trump talked for about 30 minutes, and we thought for a minute it was going to be a political conversation because he was talking about, you know, the economy and impeachment and China, but he eventually got around to the Blues, and he had a...
Oh, my gosh.
It was well written, and he told the story very well of from worst to first, and talked about Jordan Binnington, and talked about Ryan O'Reilly, and he brought up the coach, he brought up the owner, and actually, you know, whether you like him or not, he was engaging, and he had a lot of fun with some of the Blues players. And then the owner, Tom Stillman, gave him a Trump jersey, Trump sweater, I should say, in hockey vernacular. And it had the number 45 on it. So it was a fun day. It was really weird. I was just about, you know, 12 feet away from him during the speech. And just, wow, I'm in the Rose Garden here looking at the leader of the free world.
That is very, very cool. What was the security like? Like, could you have tackled him if you wanted to?
No. It was tight. Yeah, it was tight. And we had to go through a lot to even get in. You know, let me tell you a quick little story, Dave. My daughter, Brooke, lives in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and she works for Deloitte, and her account is the Air Force. So she has, like, the highest clearance civilian. So, you know, we got her in there. So she and I were standing, you know, literally 15 feet away from the president during most of the talk. It was really kind of cool. And I, you know, every time he'd say something kind of goofy, I just look at her and she look at me and we just kind of smile.
That's
it was
great.
Fun.
How, you know, anytime you see someone in person, whether it's a ball player or it's you, someone meets Frank Cusumano, how did the president look different in real life than you thought he would?
You know what? He looked exactly like he does on television.
Okay.
Very orange, very, very big and glowing and loud and aggressive and New Yorkish. And yeah, I mean, he is who he is.
Very
you can't
orange.
Deny that. Yeah,
I love that. That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk some baseball. Bring us up to date.
Well, I'm right here. The Cardinals have just finished up
Are
batting
you in a
practice.
Brothel?
What's that?
Nothing. There's just some screaming in the background.
Yeah, some kids are asking Daniel Ponce de Leon, the Cardinal pitcher, for a ball. So this is a do or die. It's a 3-0 series, and they smell blood here.
Yeah.
This is not just a baseball game. This is one of the biggest days in the history of Washington for baseball. Yeah, I think they last won the World Championship in 1924 with Walter Johnson. They went to the World Series in 33. But they smell blood. It's a really good team. Their starting pitchers have not allowed an earned run the entire series, and the Cardinals don't have a hit by a left-handed hitter this entire series. So
Amazing.
It's two teams headed in opposite directions. Hopefully they can stop the bleeding here and win a game. You win a game tonight, you steal one tomorrow, you come back to St. Louis, and anything can happen. But it's certainly not trending that way as we speak.
Who are the pitchers tonight?
Patrick Corbin will go for the Nationals. He's a two-time All-Star. He's got 238 strikeouts. The Cardinals counter with their young phenom, Dakota Hudson, who won 16 games and really had a breakout year. So it's a great pitching matchup, but the problem is, you know, the Cardinals just have not showed up and hit. It's been really brutal.
And the Blues?
They got a little time off. I'll just tell you a quick little Blues story. I got a feeling that Craig Berube is sick and tired of all this. I mean, if they're not having a ring ceremony, then they're at the Hall of Fame, or they're having a parade, or they're celebrating the Stanley Cup in their hometown. I think Craig Berube is done with this. He wants to get down to nuts and bolts and playing freaking hockey.
Yeah, I get it.
And it's supposed to be over now, right? Like, this is kind of the final.
Yes, hurrah. I think it is. Absolutely, yep.
Any Blues players today particularly animated or seem particularly excited about the White House and the spectacle of it all today?
I think they just kind of chuckled when they saw, you know, Donald Trump's act up close and personal. I think they had seen it on TV, and then they saw it in person, and they just, you know, like when he was talking about, you know, the economy and how great it is, and, hey, they're not going to impeach me. I mean, most of these guys are Canadians and may not really be that involved in the whole
I love that so much.
Let me tell you something about China.
I love it so much that we started talking about impeachment.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
That is so great.
Classic.
All right, Frank, well, I'm glad you had that experience. That's awesome. Have a great time, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Right, thanks, Frank. Go to Frank's Twitter if you don't already follow him on Twitter, @Frank_Cusumano. Posted some amazing photos from the White House today, including a little video clip of Trump asking if the audience thinks he could take Alexander Steen in a fight. Just, it's crazy to see him up there. There's a photo of him holding the Trump 45 sweater. Just weird to see worlds collide like that. Like, that's our team. They're at the White House with that guy we see on TV every day who also happens to be the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
It's kind of nuts.
Back when Glenn Beck and I were friends, I used to travel to New York to do a show a lot. And so this is when he was on CNN and then a couple times when he was on Fox. And you would see these people. And it's just so weird to see people that you see on television animated in real life. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh my God.
Weirdly enough, that's the way I felt the first time I met Cusumano in person. Because I've just seen him on TV for so many years.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of trippy.
Mm-hmm.
The local news TV thing is so remarkable to me. Because somebody like Frank Cusumano or Mike Bush, you know, they've been on that long. Like, they're on your TV and in your house just as much as, say, you know.
More.
Any of these other, you know, huge movie stars
or
you know, I've seen Michael Jackson in person and Bono in person and stuff too, but like Mike Bush was just, it has that much of an effect on you. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And Frank.
Dave did a really great interview with Mike Bush not too long ago, and Frank Cusimano.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to find times to replay those at some point, because they were both amazing interviews.
I got time now.
All right, fire it up. Let's go home.
Yeah, you kidding me? I'll go home and get ready for the debate. Man, I love Hollow Notes.
Totally agree. We are doing something over on Y98 called Soft Rocktober, which we're doing until we're told not to, and so far we haven't, where we're just playing a song like that. Mm-hmm. We're trying to go even deeper cuts every day on the show, and
I like it.
A blast.
Yeah.
Fun.
I like it. Tim, are you vegan or vegetarian?
I eat, there's certain things I eat, so I'm not vegan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh, wish there's more light. I can't really read this. But there's...
You want to turn on the lights in the studio?
No, I can fake it. I know basically the story. So there's a show where they take meat eaters and they say, they give them like a sheep. And it's part of the show. And they raise the sheep for a year. And then they say, if you don't stop eating meat, we're going to slaughter Teddy the sheep. And they're like, oh, God, I don't know what to do. So now in Great Britain, there's a new show where it's the same concept, except you have to eat Teddy.
You have to eat Teddy?
Yes. If you don't give up meat and become a vegetarian, they will slaughter your pet and you have to eat it.
Or what, do you have to pay a price or something?
No. Like you, that's what you have to, that's the game.
What's the incentive?
I don't know. I guess they're getting paid.
I don't
paid.
Think you would sign up for that unless you're absolutely sure it wouldn't be a problem.
Look, I
wouldn't want to watch.
It's sort of like, so they find people, I mean, it's reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
So they find people who, it's just like, I just mainline pork into my veins. Mm-hmm. That's all I do. And like, oh, well, here's a pet pig and you raise him. And then it's like, okay, you can never eat meat again or you're going to barbecue him. I just thought it was just so insane.
It is insane. Yeah. I wouldn't want to watch that at all.
And I also think it takes a little bit of the value of becoming vegan or vegetarian
and
away.
When
you only became a vegan because of the emotional torture of eating Teddy the sheep.
Right.
But can we talk about what's on the DGS blog really quick?
Sure.
Get people to go click on our website, 971talk.com/Glover. We put up a very, very funny video of a little boy who was out shopping with his parents, and they have all the Halloween decorations out, and this one decoration, which is a spider, jumps out at him and scares him, and he just starts beating the crap out of the decoration.
I love it.
I've watched it 20 times. It is so cute, so funny. Up on the blog, up on the Facebook.
It's so great.
Yeah.
Because the spider is his size,
mm-hmm.
and it just jumps out at him, and it's fight or flight.
Yeah,
and
he does what he has to do. He's
throwing haymakers. And what's great is his mom and dad have to pull him away.
They're like, "Okay, Charlie. Okay, that's enough."
He's just. Mom, it's GD spider, man. I gotta take him down.
We put up another video of a mom who decided to prank what looks like her preteen son with a big, giant, hairy Halloween decoration spider. He's laying in bed. She puts it on top of him, wakes him up, and he freaks out. I put it up on Facebook asking the question, is this mean or is it funny? I really think it depends on what your family is like and what you guys consider to be a funny prank or not, but kind of a fun thought experiment.
So you come from a big, goofy family, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys do... was it... all out war as far as like pranks and scaring each other and things like that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we were super, no, we were. There was a lot of stuff because it's, so I'm the oldest of four, two brothers, and then my youngest is a sister. So the three brothers were, and we're all very, very close in age. So yeah, lots of, I mean, fighting, a lot of physical stuff, I think, more than anything else.
But, like for real fighting?
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I mean, they're whole, like, I think I've talked about it before. Just there'd be holes in our walls in the house growing up.
And did mom and dad say, let them go? They'll work this out.
I think they intervened. I mean, they didn't have a, they weren't always around.
It wasn't like, yeah,
it's not like they weren't
the
around like
table.
We were little kids. I'm saying, you know, yeah. as we were older. Yeah, we were, no, yeah, you did not do that at the dinner table. No, I would say that they intervened. Consequences were shouted. We're all physically larger than both my parents. So there wasn't, you know, it was as much shouting and, you know, some sort of getting grounded or, you know.
So you would have just beat them up.
That was, all right, you're next, Dad.
Well, yeah.
That was sort of the implication. Well, we're physically larger than our parents.
Meaning
so
they couldn't pull us apart.
They really can't do jack crap.
Right. They couldn't pull us apart is what I'm saying.
So what was the convy reputation in the neighborhood?
Hmm.
Is it don't mess with the convies, don't go in their yard, you know, like, don't mess with one or the old one's going to get you. Like,
no, I think we're pretty friendly. I don't think we had a lot of
every one of those descriptions were don't mess with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Any actual criminal charges.
Yeah. I don't think we got messed with a lot, but I don't think it's because we were intimidating. I think it's just because
too handsome.
They were intimidated by their looks.
Maybe.
I want to hit him so bad, but yeah. I can't be responsible for messing up that face.
No, we were, I think we were good, clean, fun, but causing trouble in the neighborhood. Right. You know, it was.
I want you to be honest with me.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Look at me.
All right.
Who's prettier, you or your sister?
My sister. She is. She is.
I'm going to have to see a picture.
She is. She absolutely is. You've not, you, I guess you haven't met her?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. She is.
Are they all gone now? They all move away?
My sister's here, and then the two brothers are, one's in New York, one's in L.A.
Did your mom and dad get smaller?
Did what?
Your mom and dad get smaller? Are they basically just tiny little people?
He means because you said that you were all bigger than both of them.
Did they just keep shrinking?
I speak Dave.
No, same size.
Carry them like a papoose.
Yeah.
they're borrowers now. Now they just live under the floorboards. They come out and get a thimble.
That's why he keeps locking his keys. It's his mom. She sneaks in.
That's what we call a callback, folks.
So what time you get up in the morning tomorrow?
4:45.
Yuck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's bad.
It's not as bad as like what Trisha and Mark and Denise have to do over here, though, because they're in at 5. So
well,
they all get
on
up
at 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm sorry. That's what I should have said. So they get up at like 2:45, 3.
And I'm spoiled. I mean, Kevin on our show gets in here around 2:30.
Well,
are you
yeah, and
kidding?
He's from Grafton.
And he drives an hour.
Yeah.
Courtney what? Gets in not too
Kevin's
long.
Kevin's from Grafton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I've got it the easiest, so I have to be careful about
what's
my
he
complaint.
Doing with his
I,
life.
Well, and then my mom and my grandma all the time, because I brought it up once, I'm like, oh, yeah, Kevin from Y98, blah, blah. And they're like, well, then why don't you live here? I'm like, because I don't want to drive an hour to work every day.
Not only is his drive that long, Kevin is the slowest driver I've ever met by like a lot. So I can't imagine
and
how
it's
long
1 o'clock
him.
In the morning. He's leaving at 30 miles per hour.
Oh, my gosh. That's a world I don't want to know.
I know. He likes it. You know, people, you get
sure,
your,
people
your,
thrive
your
in different
routines.
Ways.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
Kevin, I am sorry if I was not supposed to reveal the location of your home.
Yeah, you doxed him, didn't you?
There's only like 600 people there, so you could track
him
down pretty easy.
He lives on Maple. I mean, it's in the very center of town.
Yeah. You can catch him all summer. Their neighborhood pool is Raging Rivers. That's the community pool.
It's true.
So, are you and Kevin the most famous people to come out of Grafton?
Grafton, Illinois? I mean, probably.
Are you guys?
I'm trying to think of someone famous.
I love the way you said that. What?
Well, like I said, it's a population of 600, so.
Really?
Yeah, it's tiny.
Oh, man.
It seems bigger because of all the tourist attractions and stuff, but.
Right. Yeah, it gets a lot of press for how few people are there.
All right, we're going to let you go home and visit your tiny parents. And when we come back, Trish Gazelle will be here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.